I think we can have the little clip, can we, please, on the video? Anyone know what that was? Some of you may know that I used to work in the Lake District, and the place I stayed, Matthew's laughing, and the place I stayed was up at the end of a beaten, end of a road about 1,000 foot, 300 metres up in the, and there's a farm track that you can take off behind there. And it was late one night, and I went for a walk out. It was, as you could see there, pitch black. It's one of the very small number of places you can find where there's not a single light you can see anywhere, in any direction. You may have noticed it was incredibly still. You could hear my footsteps. You're waiting to hear, what is it? And suddenly there was this noise. I don't know what you would have done in that moment. There's absolutely no, there's no one around, completely quiet, completely still, and suddenly there's that noise. I had no idea what it was. You're kind of on edge in that kind of dark situation, and amazingly enough, I believe I'm right in saying, you can do some research, I think this was the beating of wings of a snipe, which is a type of bird. But here I was in the darkest place, away from people. It was in April 23, so I don't know how many sheep there would have been around at that point in time, but it was just dead still. And you're nervous, you're uncertain. And this is where our passage begins. Did you notice? It begins here in chapter 2. There were shepherds living, I wasn't living, in the fields nearby, watching their flocks by night. Heightened sensitivities. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, an angel appears. We had at our church on Sunday our do-it-yourself nativity. So every parent and could choose, every child could choose what they were going to go as. So I think a young green came as a cow onesie. I think it's fair to say if you were a little girl, you came as an angel, because that's what little girls do, they come as angels. And basically it's the kind of moment in sort of sweets with lace and tutus and stuff. But when this angel appears, when angels appear in the Bible, this isn't the first reaction that you get. Especially not dark, especially not at night, especially not away from people. And you see what they said, do not be afraid, because they were terrified. And the angel says, do not be afraid. You might be forgiven if you're a shepherd, saying, what do you mean, don't be afraid? Silly thing to say to me. We're in the middle of nowhere, it's pitch black, and you're telling me not to be afraid, telling us not to be afraid. We've just seen this angel. But the amazing thing about this, in the opening part of Luke's gospel, it's the third angel visit, you may remember. And each time after the angel visits, the angel says, do not be afraid. And then gives a reason for why not to be afraid. And whatever we're feeling at the beginning, end of this year, the amazing thing is it's the truth of the gospel, the truth of Jesus, that can shape our feelings. We're not prisoners of our feelings. We can be shaped by those. We haven't got that long, but just a few minutes just to pause and to linger here and to see why it's not the right thing for them, and I guess therefore for us, to be fearful. Do you notice what the angel says first? We're so familiar with this. It says, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Reassuring? But it's also tantalizing, isn't it? In this moment, you haven't told me anything. I'm just telling you what's coming, but I haven't told you anything. But there's a sense of reassurance. Did you notice the sense of positive? It's good news. This is a big Luke word, you probably know. It only occurs once elsewhere in the Gospels, this verb of bringing you good news. It's the same one that Jesus uses in Luke chapter 4, of the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring good news. It's the great evangelizing word that's here. But our culture's not that keen on good news. My mother-in-law was, she's gone to be with the Lord now, but she got so fed up with the bad news on TV and media that her siblings, Bridget and their siblings, arranged for a subscription to a magazine called Positive News. Has any of you seen it? You see, not interested in good news. Because it only comes out 4 times a year. Admittedly, there is a weekly update. I want to be fair with you. There is a weekly update. But it only comes out. Did you know on the BBC website there is something called Uplifting Stories? Yeah, you have to go. Did you know? Anyone found those? Most of you have never seen them. Because, of course, you don't look, that we don't find this, not on the front page. But this was the best news. No need to be afraid. This was positive. This message was a positive message. Did you also notice what an extraordinarily powerful message this was? Because they had been marked by great fear, and then it's good news of great joy. The antidote to fear, in a sense, is joy. I have to tell you, when I realized that was a snipe, I was really thrilled. But again, joy is just this great transformative theme in Luke's gospel. Think how Luke begins. John the Baptist in 1:14. John the Baptist will be a joy and a delight to Zechariah. Many will rejoice at his birth. Or in 1:44, you have the baby John leaps for joy inside Elizabeth. In the Magnificat, my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. And at the end, of course, the very end of Luke's gospel, post-ascension, then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. This is joy associated with salvation. The antidote to fear, great fear, is great joy. Good news, positive, and of great joy. There's a third thing I noticed about this little opening, which is both reassuring and slightly tantalizing. It's particular. Did you notice what it says? I think there's often a word that we leave out when we preach it or think about it. It's the word the. Because what does it say? It says good news for all the people. We want to go quickly to the fact that it's for all people. Yeah, there's a saviour for everybody now. Well, it's actually says for all the people. The people. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. Of 177, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. His people. Yes, it's going to mean a glorious thing for the whole world, but here it's in and through the particularity, it's the third thing, the particular nature of this saving action for his people at this point in time. And then did you notice the fourth thing about this reassuring but tantalizing opening? It's personal. I bring you good news of great joy. And then it goes on later, born to you. It was you personal, you shepherds. You're probably aware of some of the debates about whether shepherds were good or bad and what kind of how they represent people. I won't ask you a straw poll here. Some of you may have heard, oh, well, they were basically outcasts. They were the thieves, the robbers, the people who were brigands, and so on. They were disreputable people. And that's quite convenient. It preaches well. It also works very well with, the announcement comes with thieves, Jesus dies between two thieves. But I think the most scholars now would say, yeah, that was a bit later with the Mishnah and Talmud. That's not for now. And, also, shepherds through the Bible basically seem pretty positive. So they're rather than being outcasts, they're ordinary people. They're normal. They're ordinary in that sense. Maybe unlikely, but certainly ordinary. But the point is here, this is personal to you. Being you, you shepherds, you, whatever. But still the shepherds, you notice, they didn't know what the good news is. So the angel continues, "For today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord." Today. 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 Immediacy. Now. This moment. Today you'll be with me in paradise. I must come and stay at your house today. Today salvation has come to this house. This is the moment you've been waiting for. This is the today moment. Town of David, climax of prophecy. And so you have this extraordinary thing that goes on. This long-awaited birth has taken place. At that moment, this today moment, in that place, Bethlehem, for those people, the ewe shepherds. But it's got significance for every today, in every place, and for every person. And then it goes on. A Saviour has been born to you, Christ the Lord. Do you know how many other times these three come together in the New Testament? Any ideas? Any advance on one? No, it's just one. This is it. The only time these three come together. It's an extraordinarily significant moment. And I love, just, I'm going to, just for the last couple of minutes, just read a little bit from George Caird's pithy little commentary here before we draw stumps and come to an end. George Caird: "The newborn baby is proclaimed to be Saviour, Christ, the Messiah, and Lord. Saviour was a title with universal appeal. The Jews, with centuries of foreign rule behind them, including persecution and other subtle interferences with their ancestral faith, were looking for a king to save them from oppression, but also from the national sins which God had delivered them into the hands of their enemies." Jews, Saviour. But Gentile religion too was a quest for salvation. Some found their Saviour. Isis, who undertook to emancipate them from fatalistic dominion of the stars. I didn't know that either. Others in Asclepius, the divine healer. That's the snake symbol. Is it the energy? Some healing things, you know, the snake, the Asclepius. Others in the deified emperor who'd freed the whole world from the menace of war and had established his Pax Romana, his Roman peace. But these cults left the real hunger of people unsatisfied, and Luke knew the promise of a Saviour would always command a hearing. And here we have how this brings together. As Messiah, Jesus would bring the hopes of Israel to fulfilment. As Lord, he would summon the Gentile world to obedience and faith. And the amazing thing is, this Saviour, Christ, Lord, comes in a manger. A king-size bed. Thou who wast rich beyond all splendour, all for love's sake becamest poor. Thrones for a manger did surrender, sapphire paved courts for stable floor. Thou who wast rich beyond all splendour, all for love's sake becamest poor. We won't find Jesus in wealth and power and status and possessions and glory and majesty, though one day there'll be. But in the ordinary, in the down-to-earth, in yours and my life. And it's good news for you and for me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, bless you and praise you. It's amazing news that you are. Just such good news. It brings such joy this Christmas. Lord, help us to see again this good news of great joy. And we write in our hearts, cast away our fear, even great fear, our doubt, our worries, our anxieties. And help us to see you afresh, we pray. Amen.